Now speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning to you all. I am, yes, as introduced, James Tabor. Thank you, Diane. Lovely to be here. I am here in my official capacity as Rural Dean, and I'm chairing your AMP this morning, your annual meeting of parishioners. And so we've got two for the price of one, really. I was here anyway, and I was going to preach, so I'm doing the whole gig. So there you are. Welcome. It is great to be here. Now, you probably don't know what a rural deed is. I'm not even sure I do, to be honest, but it's a layer of church government. Because, of course, that's what we need, isn't it? We need layers of church government like we need layers of every other government, it seems. We've got endless layers of government all telling us that they've got our best interests at heart. And I, ladies and gentlemen, have your best interests at heart. So worry not. Yes, it's slightly terrifying. I have written a sermon, you'll be pleased to hear, but like most days when I come to preach, I find myself in a slightly different situation and the Lord speaks to me in funny ways and I end up going a little bit off-piste. So I do apologise if this all seems a little last minute because it is. I am struck, I mean, apart from my jokes about church government, about how the church is still here after 2,000 years. Now, it's not the church, I think, that Christ intended, although maybe it is exactly the church that Christ intended. He just didn't tell anybody, because I can't imagine after he'd finished the Sermon on the Mount, for this is what we have just read, that he then said, now, what I want you to do is I want you to divide into little churches, and then you need a layer of government in that. We'll call that the parish council. Now, the parish council will be voted on an annual basis by the electoral roll of Christian people in that community, and they will elect not only two church wardens every 3 years, but every year we will do that, and so on and so forth. And then he said, but that won't be enough, because we need another layer above that. We'll call that the deanery, and the deanery will comprise of churches in a geographic area, and so on and so forth. And then when you think that it can't get any more orderly, we're going to put another layer of government above that. Now, actually, and that's the diocese. That's got a bishop at the top of that. In the early times of the church, the church comprised deacons, like Gerland at the back there, and bishops. And the bishops would come along every few weeks and just help out. And the deacons, who didn't really have dog collars, but they were certainly official people, used to run things on a perfectly happy basis. And then the bishop would turn up every few weeks, and he would, because it was a he, though it could have been a she. It could have been a she, but anyway, a bishop would turn up and would say, you know, you just need to sort of, you know, keep your hand on the tiller and adjust course a little bit, exactly like Paul did. And actually, the letters that Paul wrote, and we read one a little while ago, is exactly what a bishop would have done. He would have turned up, or she, and turned up, they would have turned up, and they would have said, you know, things are a little bit off course, we just need to sort of focus a little bit more on such and such, and then you can, you know, continue on your way. Because, of course, churches are those funny things that are comprised of human beings. and we are, though we aspire to be perfect, we are not. And I include myself in that we very much so. I am very much less than perfect. This is why I don't aspire to great office, because my background will be perused with great interest. And, yes, all of those sorts of things will be terrible. However, this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is the church. I'm not sure that it's exactly, well, I suppose it's a difficult question, isn't it? Is this exactly what God had in mind? Is this exactly what God had in mind? We would have to assume that it was. And so therefore this is the leaky boat that we have in order to continue our work. So that's kind of where we are. What is the business of our church? And the business of our church is evangelism. That's what we were told to do, weren't we, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, go everywhere and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And don't forget, I'll be with you always. That's what we were told to do. That is, I hope, what you are all doing. You are going everywhere and preaching the word. Is that what you're doing? No? Oh, you mean you're having meetings. Well, look. It can be a little bit disheartening, can't it, when you think, you know, out there there's this amazing church which is presumably doing amazing things and God and giving everyone power and all the rest of it. And here's us. Here's us. We're just sort of, you know, we're getting on with it, you know. We're getting on with it. And we're doing our very best. But I suspect you're doing better than you think. And here's why I think that. There was a particular statement in something we read. Have you got your script there? Can I just... Hang on, I'll get back to the microphone, sorry, so you can hear me. This is what I heard this morning, and it kind of struck me. Where were we? Now will I find it? Turn over the page. Sorry, bear with me. Bop, 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 I think this is the one that it was. Let me just read you this, see if this speaks to anybody. We are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Now that's God, and I for God in put Jesus into there. I'll give this back to you in a minute. Here's the kicker, ladies and gentlemen. We're all waiting, aren't we, for the second coming? We are waiting for when God comes in glory, when Christ returns, when he judges us, when he sorts out the wheat and the chaff. We're waiting for that, aren't we? That's going to be a great day. Hallelujah, bring it on. We've been waiting 2,000 years. We might be waiting a little bit longer. Looks like we're waiting a little bit longer, but it will come. But here's the problem, because we're all thinking about this evangelism we're supposed to be doing and the going out there and being energized and full of the Spirit and all of those things and God will come again and so on and so forth. But what if we know when he appears, we shall be like, what if he's appearing all the time? What if he's coming to us in the person of somebody who comes and wants a little bit of help with their car rego? What if he's coming to us in the person of somebody who needs a little bit of help? What if he comes to us in the person of somebody who needs healing? Just a friendly word, a hand laid on their shoulder. What if he comes to us in the everyday? How do we respond to that? Do we say, oh, no, my God is coming in a bright light on clouds of fire and he will judge both the living and the dead and all of that. That's what's going to happen, isn't it? But what about in the interim if he just turns up and if he says, actually, today is the day that I'm going to see what kind of person you've turned out to be? What if today is the day that I'm going to determine whether or not you have listened to my word and you have followed as best as you can? What if today is that day? And what if Jesus turns up and he smells a little bit and he wears some pretty old clothes and he talks a bit funny and he may not be to our taste, let's be honest. How is that any less Jesus? How does Jesus turn up? He just does. And when he does, we need to respond to that. So I was struck by that thought, and I think to get myself back on topic, I think what I wanted to say to you on the day of your AMP is you guys have had a tough couple of years. It's about to get better, I believe, but you've had a tough couple of years. But what you have done faithfully all of this time is you've met Christ where he is. You've met Christ in your emergency relief. You've met Christ in your rafters. You've met Christ here. You have done that faithfully. And you continue to do that. The truth of it is, of course, that you need good, strong local government in the form of church government in order to be able to fund that, to organise the rosters, to make sure people are there when Christ comes and all those things. And it feels perhaps that sometimes that can get in the way of the evangelism and the waiting for God to return in glory and so on. But actually, that's the heart of it. Actually, that's the point of it. That's how it all happens. That's how the magic happens, ladies and gentlemen. This here is here because somebody's on a roster, because somebody has a heart for this and decided to do it and feels in this community empowered to be able to do it. It doesn't just happen. It happens because we give on a regular basis. I thank you for that. It's important. And with that money, we keep the building up and we keep the lights on and do all these other things. And that enables us to meet Christ when he comes and do the things that we have to do. And that's why it all works that way. So the reason why I particularly wanted to preach to you today on the day of your AMP is, for some of you, the AMP, church government, rural deans, bishops, all the rest of it, might seem a bit of a distraction to the real work that you are doing here. But I think in many ways it's the real work that you do here that needs the structure, needs the funding, needs all the bits and pieces around it in order to facilitate that, to make it happen. We can't do one without the other. I mean, for myself, speaking candidly, and please don't let the bishop know this, I think we could do with a little less church government. I'm not going to lie. I mean, we do seem to regulate ourselves into a little hole in the ground. But it's that regulation, it's that keeping an eye on things, it's that planning for the future. The future may not be very long, but it might be long. It might be a long time. We need to keep being able to do that because it's in those little things that we find Christ. And Christ is not going anywhere. Christ is with us, in those people, in us. And it is how we manage all of that that enables us to continue to respond. So I thank you. I don't know who they are yet, but I thank you for all the people who are. Have we had our voting?
It closes at the beginning of the AMP.
So people are going to action. So we have people who are standing.
Yes.
They're going to get voted on. They're going to get in.
Yes.
They're going to be. They're going to have a big congratulatory round of applause. Absolutely. All of that sort of stuff. Absolutely. Those are the people who will keep the lights on and keep us going in the right direction and enable us. Jackie's coming on board. Yes. Yeah. We've already raised up Gerlin. We need more Gerlins, all right? We need many more Gerlins in our church. That's the business. We may not like the business, ladies and gentlemen, but the business is the business of the church. It enables us to do what we are called to do, which is to meet Christ in the hands and the feet and the eyes and the hearts of those who we encounter. That's why we do it all. So it's not a something we do that's of a local interest for people who want to, you know, who like church government. I can't imagine there are very many of them, but they probably exist. It's actually an enabler to let the rest of us get on with the business of the church, which is all about meeting Christ when he appears, because it may be sooner than you think. Amen.